Harper speaking again, folks. Well, sir, one Friday morning in 1812, while trapping in the mountains of what is now Colorado, Pancho Gonzalez, a half-breed, told Jack Beard, a Yankee trader, that any American who would go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and who could make 500% profit selling American goods was the kind of a man he was looking for. Well, sir, after hearing the story, Beard went back to Missouri, where Jim Knight and Bob Chamber joined him. A week later, the three men loaded three wagons with sugar, coffee, silk, satin, fancy beads, gun, and powder, and they started for Santa Fe. Then, of course, a town of about 4,000 Mexican and Indians. Well, sir, after a long, weary journey, they arrived in Santa Fe only to create suspicion, arouse public officials, be arrested, their goods taken, and all three men were compelled to walk over 1,000 miles through a land of desolation to Chihuahua, Old Mexico. Here they were thrown into a dark, dingy, mud-made juzgao, a little adobe, you know, we call a jail. Well, sir, many, many dark and dreary days followed. But one day, Harry Hall, an American trader who had made friends with the Mexican government, crossed the border, was roaming around Chihuahua, and because he could play the mandolin and the guitar a little, he fell in with the group where he learned three American men were in the juzgao, by heck. Well, it was the next night, while the plaza was alive with song and dance in Chihuahua, that Hall crept around behind the juzgao, stuck his head partly through a little window, and said, "How long have you men been in this juzgao?" "Over 9 years," Jack Beard replied in a sort of hopeless voice. "Well, what do the officials give you to eat?" "Nothing but dried beans, water, and stale bread," Beard returned. "Are you allowed to have any visitors, my friend?" "No," Beard replied. "Through that lone window up there where you are speaking is the only light we have had in this room for 9 years. Our only way of knowing when a year passes is by the change of weather." "Do you mean they have never allowed you to go outside this old juzgao?" Hall asked with sympathy. "Exactly," said Beard. "The stale bread and the hard-boiled beans are shoved through that dirty window. That's our food. We can take it or leave it. All we hear during the day is a jungle language we don't understand." "Well, boys, I don't see how on earth you can live or how you have been able to live in this place for 9 years." "Well," Beard philosophized, "a man can stand a lot of things if he has to. Where there is faith, there is hope. Listen to that. Listen, my friend." "You see, my friend," said Beard with feeling, "we hear that music every night. That music alone has been our salvation and desire to live. Without that music, my friend, we would not care to live." You know, as the music died away, Beard turned to Hall. "Do you know, partner," he said, "you are the first white man we have seen in 9 years?" Hall's heart, of course, went out to the prisoners, and a moment later, a flare of siesta light shot through the window, giving Hall a chance to see the heavy growth of Beard's face. "None of you have shaved in all this time, have you?" "Nothing to shave with," said Beard. "Well, you know, realizing the unsanitary conditions of the juzgao," Hall said, "well, say, partner, how often is this place cleaned out?" "Well," Beard replied, "about every 6 months they give us a change of skins, but Sometimes they are worse than what we had. Well, don't they ever open the door and give you any fresh air? None, Beard replied. We have to put our waste boxes on the windowsill up there. Sometimes it is 3 days before anybody takes it away. Say, partner, listen. That's the only thing which keeps us alive in Chihuahua. Well, sir, you know, folks, as the fiesta continued, all went around the hoosegow and out among the colorful singers and dancers, where he could become a part of the fiesta atmosphere. And you see, by playing and singing, he was able to make friends with the ruling power of Chihuahua. And the next day, the hoosegow swung back, and the Jack Beard and Jim Knight and Bob Chambers went right through the open door. They were out, free. And by some hand of fate, they survived the horrors of 9 years of confinement in Chihuahua and made their way back by foot to Missouri. Well, sir, God blame it, despite their heart-gripping adventure, the opportunity of making huge profits on merchandise caused them to form a new organization, and again, they loaded wagons with silk and satin and sugar and coffee and beads, and then they took the trail to Santa Fe. Well, sir, halfway across the 700-mile journey from Missouri and on the Santa Fe Trail, there was impending trouble. Yes, sir. A storm, Indian war, and a lot of things took its toll of life, and a band of savage Indians had been following them. Well, sir, 7 members of the caravan were killed, 3 bags of silver stolen, but they finally escaped, and at the point of starvation, some weeks later, the leaders of the caravan were picked up by members of another caravan, given aid, and returned to Missouri. Yet, despite their long confinement in Mexico and their own narrow escape from death, you know these darn 3 men formed another caravan? Yes, sir, and they led a group of 30 wagons to Santa Fe in safety. But the first day on arrival, Jack Beard was accused of stealing a Mexican belt, and the 3 American leaders were held up and ordered killed. But years of weary travel and adventure by Beard had taught the fellow to be careful and to be thinking, you know, ahead. And he knew a deal of Indian life by now, and also of Mexico. So before departing from Missouri this time, Beard had made some special plans. 4 musical cowboys were in his party. And just when the point of a Mexican dagger was pressing the heart of Beard, well, sir, darn it, out through the opening of a covered wagon came a new thought, yes, sir, a new thought to the killer's committees from Mexico. Well, sir, you know, music not only kept the Mexican dagger from piercing the heart of Jack Beard, my friends, but for the next whole hour, cowboy music made a deep, lasting friendship between the Mexican government in Santa Fe and the 3 Yankee men from Missouri. And do you know, during it all, a lot of good luck came. Within the year, over 50 caravans came to Santa Fe. During the ensuing years, the Santa Fe Trail was cut wide and deep, by a riptide of westbound immigration, and Santa Fe became the biggest trapping and trading center out west. Yes, sir. In fact, business increased so rapidly on the Santa Fe Trail that the Mexican government began to fear the outcome of white man travel, and the warehouses in Santa Fe were closed down.
I don't know. Darn the old... a year later, however, General Fremont and his band of American soldiers entered Santa Fe one day and all New Mexico surrendered to the power of the United States. And you know, of course, you've been reading about that. That was the beginning of a Western empire. Well, no one knows, you know, folks, what might have happened out west had the Mexicans not surrendered. But the people of that day and age knew that music played a more important part than courage. Yes, sir, it played a greater part in winning the territory of New Mexico from Spanish rule. Yes, sir, more than anything else. And if you folks out there don't believe in the power of music, you're losing a lot of pleasure in life. The first day you reach a state of confusion or trouble, friends, why not make it a point to play or sing or listen to someone who can play or sing? It'll do you good. That's what the old trapper believes, yes, sir. And good music will do anybody some good. Well, sir, the old trapper is saying goodbye again, folks, just as the Indian did. Yo-ho, yo-ho, I'll be seeing you.